Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week. Hello again, Pastor Kevin.
Good day.
How are you?
Fantastic. Good to be back. Had a week off. Missed last week.
Sorry. You feel refreshed?
Ah, very much so. You
very
bet.
Good.
Yep. Feeling like I went to the well and had a good long drink.
That's good. Yeah, I don't feel right coming on here without you. I feel like I'd be stumped.
I see
a
that.
Lot of ums and ahs. I need somebody to banter back and
right.
forth with.
That's the whole point, right? We've got to banter. A little bit of banter is good.
Of course, I could have had fun, you know, taking apart your sermon without you here.
All the better. Give her.
No, good. I'm glad you had a good time away.
Yeah, thanks for covering for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So Sunday, what happened?
Yeah,
something unusual happened.
Something quite unusual. First time for me. Mm-hmm. I'm usually very strict with myself about making sure I'm prepared. I've mm-hmm. got my notes. Mm-hmm. I write out a full manuscript so I know where I'm going, and I don't read it, but at least I know exactly where I'm going. And Sunday that changed.
Mm.
I was prepared. I had it all with me. And then the last song we sang before going into the message just really felt God leading me to go a different direction. Mm. And I wasn't sure exactly how it was going to go, where it was going to land, if I was going to be able to bring it back into what I had planned. But mm-hmm. it was just this overwhelming sense. This is where I need to go. We had spent the morning in worship focusing on God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
And was able to see how God was speaking in that way, just kind of visibly looking around, mm-hmm. able to see people being affected by that, mm-hmm. and felt that's where we needed to go. And so first verse that came to mind was John 3:16, that first verse that we all learn as a kid.
Yep.
If we ever go to Sunday school.
Yeah.
John 3:16.
Definitely.
And definitely one that you can know but forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, you can say it offhand, but to really stop and think about what it's saying about the message of the gospel, the good news.
I totally agree. When you started breaking it down, I immediately started thinking, when is the last time someone broke down John 3:16? Mm-hmm. We always just take it as a glob.
Right.
For God so loved the world, he does. He kind of rolls right. off your tongue, right? Yeah. And he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him is not perished, but everybody's like, amen. Okay, carry on. You know, you just kind of roll it off your tongue. Right. But you stopped and you slowed it down. And whenever you do that with scripture, it's going to bring life. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the way scriptures are meant to be consumed. They're meant to be consumed slowly.
Yeah.
Because I think if you rush past, like anything, if you rush anything, you miss. Mm-hmm. And I suppose there's a way to read it that you would just read it out. That's one thing.
Right.
But if you actually stop and look at what it's saying and walk us through like you did, I just thought that's the first time that I can remember in the last 20 years that mm-hmm. that passage mm-hmm. hasn't just been quoted, but it's been broken down. That was great. Yeah. The Holy Spirit was obviously moving in your heart.
Yeah.
There's almost a sermon in that, you mm-hmm. know, trusting God that he will guide us. Like
right.
he wanted you to say something about the gospel, about his faithfulness and how it affects the human heart and salvation that was necessary for whom? We don't know.
I have no idea.
We are just called to do what the Spirit says. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a perfectly good example of what that can look like. Mm-hmm. I know in my ministry over the last 30-something, it's happened many times. Mm-hmm. But I've also had it happen where people have done that, but it hasn't lined up with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think of a specific story. Someone came and told me one day after they had been praying for a long time, was what they said, mm-hmm. that they felt it was time for them to leave their husband.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay, yes. Walk me through, where's right. the passage of scripture that supports what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Well, no, it was in my prayers. It wasn't from the scripture. It was in my prayers. And I have a good prayer life, and I trust Jesus in my prayer life. And I'm like, okay, but even in your prayer life, you still mm-hmm. must line up whatever it is the Spirit of God is doing.
That's right.
It will never go against what the scripture says.
Right.
It will never do that.
That's right.
Because that's our measure, right?
Yeah.
So even in the pulpit, I'm quite sure that, you know, you got enough YouTube sermonizers out there,
right?
Firing off all cylinders from their hip, and you're kind of going, oh, this is not good. It's not lining up with the full gospel, the whole of scripture.
Right.
And I think that's just a great measuring rod, right? That's how test everything, whether it, you know, if the Spirit of God is moving, test it. And you spoke out, basically it was just the Word of God. That's all you gave us. But it was what the Spirit wanted to say at that moment. It was just channeled through verses of Scripture.
Yeah. And that was my prayer. As soon as I got that feeling, it's like, oh, what Scripture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's in anything, when even in personal conversation, even in giving somebody an encouraging word, you want to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. You want to listen for the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And, you know, again, that idea of hiding God's word in your heart, it's one reason why, is it allows for those opportunities for the Holy Spirit to speak through you and to bring to remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one thing that the Holy Spirit does, that Jesus tells the disciples, he will bring to your remembrance all that I've commanded you.
Yep.
As we are in the word of God, as we memorize it, as we meditate on it, it allows for those things to be rooted deep in our lives. So when the Holy Spirit does prompt us and lead us, we have those scriptures that are brought to mind, are brought to our remembrance.
Very important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Even, I think that's probably the main way. It's happened to me a few times in the scripture, or even leading a service.
Right.
I'll suddenly get this impression that we should be doing something else.
Yeah.
And you're trying to be sensitive to that and listen to the Spirit of God and all mm-hmm. those things. But when you're in a prayer setting and people are praying for one another and there's a need or there's a request for prayer, often I will have an impression from the Spirit of God. I can't think of any other time when it hasn't been based in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is praying something and suddenly I'll have a passage of scripture come to mind, and then I'll say, I think the Holy Spirit is saying this.
Yeah.
And does this resonate with you? Like, I don't want to misjudge. I don't want to mislead, but even you can even do that with scripture, believe it or not. That was the old enemy tried to mislead Jesus with scripture.
Right.
So even with scripture, you still have to handle it correctly. And so I just encourage, you know, people to pray. And if the Spirit of God is saying, test it out. It doesn't have to be. I think sometimes people don't say it because they're afraid of being wrong.
Oh, definitely.
And I think that's just as bad as not even hearing it. Mm-hmm. You know, why even have it if that's the case?
Right.
So say it out, but say it out in such a way. Like I remember one time, this guy at Bible school, and he thought he had the gift of prophetic utterance.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me. So in the setting, he said, thus saith the Lord. And this is what the Lord told me for you.
Mm.
And I'm sitting back going, that doesn't give any wiggle room for me to say, the Lord's not saying that to me.
Yeah.
You know? And so you try. So I went to the person afterwards and I said, hey, you know, if you have an unction like that, there's a way to present it to another person that I think is biblical.
Right.
And the biblical way is like Jesus did. He always gave the opportunity to respond. That was the beauty of how Jesus interacted with people. He gave them the opportunity to respond.
Right.
So in those kind of settings, when you think you might have a word from God, it's very important to say, does this resonate with you? Or especially if you're fairly new at it, and you come across like gangbusters just pounding away, this is what the Lord says to you, you know, turn or burn, you know. just remember that with that guy. And then afterwards, he would have those impressions because I think he genuinely had a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But he was concerned that people would not interact with his gift. And so eventually, here's how you do this. You just say, this needs to resonate with your spirit. So here's here's the impression that I'm getting from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you give out your word.
Right.
And you say, and then you close it off. Does that make sense? Or does that resonate? And even if they say no, it's okay because you can just simply say, well, it may over time.
Yeah.
Because I've had words given to me that were like, you know, at first I was kind of like, what? But then later on, as I'm reflecting, I'm going, hey, actually, that does make sense. And then it brought about repentance or conviction or whatever the case might be that the word is for. But I think it's really important to say, and I like how you did it in Sunday mornings. You know, it may sound a little muffled and a little, I'm not sure the words you used, but you gave grace to say, listen, it may not jive completely, but here is what I'm sensing. And I think that gives me the chance now to say, oh, okay. So now I have the opportunity. Do I think this is from the Spirit? Well, when you had finished, there was no doubt in my mind that was from the Spirit because it was just Scripture. You just unpacked Scripture like a sermon, basically, you know. So I think that's a very important thing. And I want to encourage people out there in prayer times or even when you're just alone with the Lord and He gives you a word. Sometimes you need to weigh it out. Is this for me, Lord? Or is this for others? That's another option that you need to, you know, because a lot of times it is just for you. I mean, you tell me your word as if it's for me, but actually I think it's for you. So I think it's just a matter of growing and maturing and being comfortable with the wind of the Spirit. Because the wind will blow wherever it goes.
That's right.
And you are called to capture that.
Yeah.
Right. The Spirit of Jesus. So well done. I thought it was a good word. God does love us and He wants us to have an experience with His faithfulness is kind of what I think. If I were to sum up what you said, I would say that the Holy Spirit was leading you to tell us that we need to have an experience with God's faithfulness. And we not just a like a physical experience, but a an actual knowledge experience that He is faithful. Even when we are faithless, He is faithful. He will never let us go. He will never drop the ball. He will always do what's right for me and for everybody. Because that's His nature.
I love that message because it, I mean, it's that idea of I can always operate in my life under the assumption that God is going to be faithful. It doesn't matter what I did yesterday. It doesn't matter what I did 5 minutes ago. I can know God is faithful. And even if I faced a situation where I've had failure or maybe I'm sharing the gospel with somebody and they completely reject it, that doesn't close the door to God's faithfulness. Like I can continue moving forward in those areas. Even if, like I mentioned on Sunday, you have a loved one that you're sharing the gospel with, you're praying for, and they still have yet to come to Christ. Well, don't give up because God is faithful. Don't give up. God is faithful.
No, I do agree with that 100%. It's something that I think we need to be reminded of more often than not, because I think we tend to slide away from His faithfulness to trust in ourselves. So even if we set goals, you know, we set goals, we set things out, we want to try and accomplish something. Oftentimes the drive to accomplish the goal leads us away from trusting God's faithfulness, whether the goal is reached or not. And I think that's, I think in our human hearts, that's what happens. We tend to, we slide off of faithfulness and we tend to grab it for ourselves. And now I'm going to make this happen. Because I am going to do this. But in fact, I've actually said to God, I don't trust your faithfulness. If you get right down into the nibbles of the heart, you know, right down there in the center of it, it's too often, I think more than not, it is, it's a lack of faith. That you don't trust His faithfulness.
It's good.
Which affects our giving.
It does, and I think that's, you know, I was glad that I was able to somewhat kind of bring it in and tie it into kind of the beginning of the series that we're starting, which is grace-filled giving, grace-filled generosity, and specifically Sunday, generosity and poverty. And, you know, we were talking a little bit ago that sometimes we view a 10% giving as more of an excuse. Again, one of those man-made goals. My goal is to give 10%. And so now I've done that. So I don't need to, I don't need to be generous anymore. I don't need to give anymore.
That becomes the definition of generosity. I'm giving my 10%. No.
But it's always having our eyes open for the opportunities to be generous in reality. Regardless of what we have, regardless of what we see in front of us.
Yeah. I remember I was at a men's meeting and the speaker got up. His name is Tony Campolo. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yeah.
He's a loud mouth, kind of an Italian. You got a billion stories, right? And he's got a terrible singing voice.
Oh.
But he got up and he started singing that old hymn, All to Jesus I Surrender. You know that one?
Yeah.
And instead, he kept saying, 10% to Jesus, I surrender. 10% to Jesus, he kept saying that. And in a terrible off-key kind of like, it was like listening to, fingernails on a chalkboard kind of feel. And afterwards, he said, unfortunately, that's what we mean when we say all.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that was like, okay, nail me or what? Right. I've been giving my 10%. That's my all, is that what more does God want? Yeah. And the fact is though, if you read the passages where that comes from, Abraham, right? That's the main one.
Right.
Before Moses put it into the law, it was not law. It was responsive.
Right.
It was a,
definitely.
And 10 is the kind of the, what would you call it? I guess the biblical numerical consistency of completeness. It was what was necessary. It was what was called for,
Right.
And he did it because the man blessed him twice.
Right.
And he was like, oh man, here, all take 10% of all of the goods, the spoils I give to you, to the king of Melchizedek, the king of peace. Mm-hmm. So I think if, it's good for us to know the 10%. I never wander far from that whole idea of tithing.
Right.
But I also don't put my stake down in it and go, here, that's what it is.
Right.
Because if you really study the New Testament, not there.
You got the widow's mite. She gave all that she had.
That was the measure.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the boys coming in with their bags of 10%, it was a good thing, but it wasn't what was required.
That's right. And even the rich and young ruler, sell all you have and give it to the poor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something we have to wrestle with because, should everybody go and sell their house and literally give it to the poor? Well, I think some people, people need to sell all they have and move to sub-Saharan Africa and live as missionaries.
Yeah, I agree.
But we do that in different ways.
Mm-hmm. No.
And we're called to do that. And it looks different in each context.
That's right.
But that's still the call.
Yep. No, that's very true because it was the call of Christ to him.
That's right.
It wasn't something he made up.
Right.
It was something that God said, you need to give it all.
Yeah.
And that was a good point because not too many chapters later, we were introduced to Zacchaeus.
Right.
Yeah. So he's up in the tree and he gets called to Jesus, and he says, half of my possessions.
Right.
Only half?
Only half.
Because the rich young ruler, he was everything. Yeah. So you see, it's not based on that.
No.
It's based on what the call of Jesus is it's the thing that's stumbling you.
Right.
And obviously for a tax collector, right? Mm-hmm. That was where they made their money.
Right.
But
he was making up for the wrongs that he had committed.
Yes. The second half
is
where I think Jesus picked up on the clue.
Right.
Salvation has come to this household.
Right.
And that was because he said, not only will I give half to the poor, mm-hmm. but I will give whatever I have stolen from anyone,
right.
I will make a guilt offering. So I will give, what did he say, four times as much? Something I think it was four times as much as what I took.
Yeah.
That is salvation. Mm-hmm. So that is, that when Jesus said, this is a son of Abraham, this is a man of faith here. So I think we don't get caught up in how much it is.
Right.
Because if we do that, we're lost. Because which is right? Absolutely. Which was Jesus? Which was right?
Right.
The half or the whole?
Right. Or the widow's mite, everything.
The widow's mite, everything. Right. Yeah. So how do we do it? Yeah. So I think it's not based on that percentage. It's based on the sacrifice that you make. And if you start to understand, like this Sunday, we're moving towards the generosity of the kingdom of God. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Like my dad used to say, you will never outgive God.
That's right.
So try. Just try it, So that's one of the things I think is going to be fun to preach this Sunday about generosity.
Right. Yeah, I'm always challenged by that. And don't look at what you have to determine what you're going to give. Ask God, what do you want me to give?
Sure.
And then give it and try. No, don't just flippantly just start throwing money. This is a call of Jesus.
Yes.
And it's going back, recognize when the Holy Spirit is calling you, is leading you. Mm-hmm. but be ready.
Yeah.
And be ready to have it all on the table and say, Jesus, whatever you want me to give, I'm ready to give.
Yeah, that was what that passage was that was originally going to be your sermon, wasn't it? Doesn't he say in there, in the midst of their severe trial, their overflowing joy, their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And I think later on he says he gave even, they gave even more than they actually had. Didn't he say that somewhere? Yes. Or is that the same? Is that the same question?
Yeah, it's that same.
Right there, next verse. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond. So there was a move of God going on there.
That's right.
That led them to say, you know what, I'm going to give up even this week's food so that this family that's in Jerusalem can have food on their table. Right. So more than, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's, you've got to ask yourself, when is the last time that I gave until it hurt?
That's a good question.
That's something we all have to wrestle with.
Yeah.
Because again, so many times it's giving out of our abundance.
Yeah.
It's giving that amount that we have set aside, that we've determined is we can afford to give this much. And that's good. I think we need to set aside some to give, but we need to also have that idea that, and that willingness to say, okay, God, if there's more, show me.
Yep.
And I'm ready and I'm willing.
No, and I think that is exactly what was going on here. The first part of chapter 8 is they gave out of their poverty.
Right.
They gave beyond what they even had.
Yeah.
The second part, which is what this coming this Sunday, is that Paul was asking them to give out of their abundance.
Yeah.
Look at all they have. So be willing to excel in generosity. Right. You know, that was what his command was.
Right. And almost like give according to your means. So like that regular giving should be according to what you have.
That's right.
But then be ready and willing to give above that.
Yep. So I think in common sort of churchianese, you'd say that's tithes and offerings,
right?
That's what you would say.
Yeah, you've got your regular tithe.
Yeah, your regular every day. Here's what the Lord's put on my heart to make sure I give. But then as a need arises, we give more.
Yeah.
And we're generous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's a good way to live in terms of how I see it here in the scriptures for sure.
Yeah.
He is faithful.
That's right. He is. And, you know, you read passage, I forget where, but Jesus says, you know, you give and it returns to you pressed down and flowing over. And again, it's not this prosperity. It isn't, you know, send us your seed offering and then God's going to make your bank account explode.
Yeah.
But it's that, again, like you said, you can't outgive God. You can never give beyond God's ability to meet your needs. And we have that promise that he will supply all of our needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we don't give so that we can get, but we give knowing that we will receive all that we need from him.
Yeah. And even more sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I think that's part of what Paul was saying. I think it's in Galatians where he talks about him who steal no longer, but let him do work so that he can not only take care of his needs, but also the needs of others.
Right.
So you're not only looking to make sure that your family's looked after, because God would never ask you as a command or anything like that to make your family go without.
Right.
Now you maybe personally, definitely.
Right. But he's not going to say, okay, Ryan, starve your kids for the next month so that, no.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Make your kids sleep in a tent in the middle of winter.
So that you can give more to my cause.
Yeah.
But making sure you look after, and then whatever's left over, there should always be a question, where can we give this? Where can we have fun with this leftover?
Yeah.
And who can we support? And it's always, God is always faithful, right?
Yeah.
You just start maybe thinking that way and suddenly, the Cambodian refugee people come along and it's like, oh, you know what? We could give this little bit of extra to that project.
Right.
You know, the Holy Spirit's good. He knows where the needs are.
That's
He'll bring them across your path.
Right. And if we even think as a church, you know, we were able to do that this past year, kind of as I was coming in, but, you know, giving towards recovery was in Fort Mac.
With the floods.
And then in Lebanon with the explosion.
Yeah.
Where it's like, wow, we as a church as a whole, we've been blessed. We have this abundance.
Yeah.
And we now have the joy of being able to take part in helping others.
Yeah. No, I think that's a, sign. In my view, it's a sign of a healthy Christian existence.
Yeah.
When generosity is on the tip of your fingers, mm-hmm. it's just there.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And at first you maybe go grandiose in your thought and then you kind of look it through. Okay. Well, maybe they're good. All right. I can see what we could do.
Right.
Right. So you start, even my wife and I, we kind of do this sort of, is there a figure in mind, you know? And right. I'm like, well, I'm at about 1,000. She's like, well, I'm about 500 or vice versa.
Right.
Yeah. And you kind of go, okay, well, maybe we should go 750. Oh, I can agree with that. All so right. away we go, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So you banter about it, you right. know? It's meant to be something you enjoy.
Right, definitely. Yeah. I know there's one point where I was, you know, had extra and praying about, okay, what to give. And the number that came to mind had an extra zero at the end. And so I ignored that extra zero. And then a need arise and it was like, okay, no, that zero was supposed to be there. Okay,
yeah. Yeah. He'll work with you.
But it's yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, that willingness, that readiness, what is God wanting me to give?
Mm-hmm. Kind of neat that, I mean, we didn't tie that together with your word on Sunday, but in essence, you were doing what Paul was asking or was telling us about the Macedonian church, mm-hmm. is that they were listening to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And doing something that they needed to do. Mm-hmm. So were you.
Yeah.
You were listening to the Spirit. You gave us a word from God. Yeah. In the same way, it could have been a word to give.
Yeah.
One of the things I was thinking about was how can we demonstrate that we care about people around us? Mm-hmm. All week I've been praying, Lord, is there a way? Is there a way? Is there something we can do physically? Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought, well, maybe we should take an offering and give it to some of the local businesses. But then you kind of go, oh, how do we know they need it? Right. And how can we say that this one you get some and this one you can't get some? So you run down all these tracks and you're trying to figure out how can we be generous to show the love of Christ, mm-hmm. You know, that we care because we're a part of this community. And I'm still a little stumped. Like I really haven't come up with a great idea of how to do that.
Right.
But I do think that, you know, just acts of kindness, encouraging people, pray for the prosperity of your town. That's what God told the Jews when he would scatter them to the nations. They were to pray for the prosperity of the town that they were in. So that's one way we can show kindness. Now, they don't know that we're doing that, but...
Right.
You know, when you see a chance, take it.
Yeah.
Take a chance to be a little generous, maybe a larger tip than you would normally give, or just those little things that show the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm looking forward to your message Sunday. I think this is a good, you know, it can be an uncomfortable topic to address. It is as a church, is mm-hmm. giving financially, but it's something that we're called to be generous. And how does this play out, especially in a time when we may feel like we're hurting.
Yeah.
We may feel like we're impoverished. Mm-hmm. Well, here we have an example of believers that were still able to be generous in poverty. And it's a good challenge for us.
Mm. Amen.
Well, we'll see you next week.
Okay. Agreed. Thanks for joining us out there in podcast land.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.